Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. September 17th. Wow. Yeah, tomorrow I'll be married 52 years. 52 years. It's awesome. There's some things we do that require strength. And I'm talking about physical strength at this point. Splitting firewood, repair tractor equipment, or standing in one spot all day long canning tomatoes or making relish. And sometimes even trying to keep up with little children all day long to guide and direct them. It takes strength. And to keep our bodies up to the tasks, we have to nourish it. Good food. Rest. But because we are made in the image and likeness of God, and God is love, God is patience, God is forgiveness, God is spirit, we also need spiritual strength to keep our spiritual life healthy. And that strength comes from God's word. Now, I've learned to discover that one scripture always seems to overlap another scripture. You know, chapter to chapter, or even book to book, they overlap. And God's word is so expressive that even though there be no divisions of verse and chapter or book, it makes perfect sense. All you have to do is read it. Open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy. It's kind of interesting that what the Lord threw at me this morning, just as I was standing here, is that we're going into the book of 2 Timothy, and here we have a young Timothy that expressingly desires to be the right brother, a righteous brother, for his baby sister. And the word that Paul gives this young Timothy is the same word he's given that young Timothy this morning. That's amazing. I love it, Lord. We're going to start with chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And the most miraculous thing that I see all the time, chapter 2 hinges on chapter 1. So if you miss chapter 1, you're lost. No. You can listen online. It's there. And 2 Timothy hinges on 1 Timothy and so forth and so forth. So you get the idea. You have to read the whole Word of God. You cannot just open the book, read that, oh, great, and you've got all the strength you need for your spiritual life. You have to read it all. The complete Word of God is important. I saw it this way. The Lord is laying down building blocks. I know Jay knows what an 8x8x16 building block is. He's probably laid quite a few. Well, the Lord is laying down these building blocks week after week after week. They go in a row, they go in the next layer, and like my house, there's a third layer. And all of a sudden, there's a foundation. And when that foundation is finished, that's what we build our faith on. I love it. Your faith is built on the foundation of the Word of God. How's your foundation coming along? Anyway, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 1 and 2. You, therefore, my son, he calls him his son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Sounds kind of strange to say be strong to a spiritually discouraged person. It would be just as strange to say the same thing to a physically weak man. Be strong. Pick up that hunk of iron. And he can't do it. But it is reasonable to say to a spiritually weak person, be strong. And it's reasonable because the source of the renewed power is right here. Where two or more are gathered, I am in their midst, is what the Lord tells us. Now we got 26 people here. You think the Lord's here? Amen. Absolutely. So it's reasonable to say that. The grace of Jesus Christ is the inward power that enables us to do His good pleasure. Because He gives us tasks to do. Now, 2 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles. But the principles in the pastoral epistles, they apply to all Christians, not just pastors, not just missionaries, not just ministers, all Christians. Because the ministry is not something that we get and then we hold on to it and keep it to ourselves. No, we're stewards. We're stewards of this spiritual treasure. That's how I look at it, that God has given us. And it's our responsibility to guard that deposit. If I gave you a sack of real silver coin, pre-64, would you not guard that pretty good? So we have to guard this spiritual treasure that God has given us. And it's our responsibility to guard that deposit and then invest it in others. Yeah? We invest it in others and they in turn share with the next generation of believers. And I don't mean to pick on you, Tim, but you brought it up. And that's your responsibility. God is going to give you what it is that you have to guard and you have to share with your baby sister. And so that she can, when she grows up, pass that on. What happens if we don't do this? What if we keep that treasure that God gave us and kept it to ourselves? Well, that's kind of selfish. And Scripture has something to say about that. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Matthew chapter 25, if you want to jump over there. If you don't, I will read it. 25 verse 14. Jesus is talking here. Now, this is our Lord. So we know this is true. We know this is what's going to be. It's not a myth. It's going to happen this way. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And he called his servants and gathered his goods and delivered them to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2 talents. To another 1 talent. And here's the important part. Each according to his own ability. We each have been given a treasure according to our own ability. Mine's different than yours. Yours is different than Darvin's. Mary, who's off in another land right now, is different than Judy's. But we've been given 1, or 2, or 5 based on our own ability. And then he goes off to a far country. And it says that the one who received the 5 traded with it. He invested it, and he made 5 more. And the one that had 2 invested it, shared it with someone else, and made 2 more. And the one that had 1, it says, dug a hole in the ground and hid it. In other words, he did nothing with it. This person did nothing with the talent, with the treasure, with the gift that God gave him. And the master returns, which means the Lord returns, because the master in this parable is the Lord. And the Lord returns. And the one that received the 5 talents says, Lord, here's your 5, and I made 5 more for you. And the one that had 2 comes and says, here's your 2, I made 2 more. The one that had 1, he came and said, Lord, I was afraid, so I went and hid your gift in the ground. Here it is back. And what does the Lord say to that servant? He says, you should have at least put it in the bank where I could have got interest on that. I could have got something out of it. So he says, therefore, take the talent from him. Take it away from him. Give it to the one that's got the 10. And cast that unprofitable servant in outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what's God saying? I lost my place. They received their treasure directly from their master. They didn't get it from another servant. They didn't get it from a marketplace person. They got it directly from God. And that's where we get our talents. Our gifts, our treasures come directly from God. Do not listen to the ideas and philosophies of men. Read the Word of God and get your instructions directly from your Lord. It takes strength to teach the Word of God. Every one of us, including me, every one of us has to dig into these rich mines of Scripture. And we dig out the gold and the silver and the precious stones that are hidden in here. And the strength that it takes to do all that digging only comes from God's grace. The ability to study, the ability to understand or to teach comes from God's grace. Paul says to Timothy in verse 3, he says, therefore you must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged, this is verse 4, no one engaged in warfare, we're in a war, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, if you read a lot of Paul's writings, you know he uses military illustrations quite a bit. And he is describing the characteristics of a good soldier of Jesus here. He says he endures hardship. There's a lot of people that think that ministry is a cushy job. And preachers are very often at the end of jokes that suggest they're lazy. They only have to work one day a week. Sunday morning, they stand up there, they say a few words. And they get paid big bucks, and they sit around all week and do nothing. Lazy. Well, to the contrary, because this applies to you too, I said, this is not just for pastors, this is for all Christians. A dedicated Christian is in a battle that requires spiritual endurance. You have to be totally committed to your commanding officer. The one who enlisted you, the one who brought you into the classroom to teach those children, the one who brought you in a Sunday school, that's Jesus Christ. He's the one that enlisted every one of us to spread the word of God. And yes, some of us have to still work to support our families and our households. But he says, Timothy, don't get so consumed in the world that you can't be a good witness for Christ. Because our purpose is to please the Lord, not to please the world. And so he says, avoid worldly entanglements. Then he changes the tune from a soldier to sporting events. He says in verse 5, also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. He changes again now in verse 6. He says, the hardworking farmer, he must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, he says, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. The Olympic and the Isthmian Games were very important events in Paul's day, and Olympics is still a pretty important event today. In 1 Timothy, Paul urged Timothy to exercise like an athlete. And now he's telling him, you got to obey the rules. Because if you don't obey the rules in sports, you're out. Now, from the human point of view, everyone that looked at Paul called him a loser. There was nobody in the grandstands cheering Paul on. They were throwing stones at him. He's in prison. Paul was really a winner. He had kept the rules that were laid down in the Word of God. And so one day he's going to get his reward. He's going to get it from Jesus Christ, right face to face. And what he's saying to us today is that it's very important that we obey the Word of God. No matter what people say, we obey the Word of God. We're not running this race to please people. We're not running this race to become famous. We're running to please our Lord Jesus. That's the only reason. He uses the farmer as another illustration in verse 6. I like the farmer because I'm a gentleman farmer. Each Christian has a particular task to perform. One person plows, another person plants, someone else waters, someone else harvests. But in all the farming, it's God that provides the increase. And I know that's true because I plant potatoes. There's a movie out there called Faith Like Potatoes. You ought to watch it. It's really cool. You put the in the ground, you cover it up. You don't know till harvest time, did God produce any potatoes for me? Well, he gave me about 80-something pounds. One row, about 83, 84 pounds. But there's a lot of practical truths in this image of the farmer and the land. And the very first one is the farmer has to work, and he has to work pretty hard. It's not all that easy. I have tractor, yes. I have equipment, yes. That equipment's heavy to put it on the tractor. You plow it up, and then you get down. And then you go back up on the tractor, and you plow it, and there's more potatoes, and you pick them up. You go through the field again, and there's more potatoes that comes up. And it was funny because I'm sitting up there and I said, Lord, as long as you produce those potatoes coming up, I'm going to get down off this tractor, I'm going to pick them up. And it took about 9 times to go through my one row before I got all my potatoes up. But it's hard work. If I just left the field all by itself, I'll tell you, it's going to go to weeds. Every field will. And so real ministry is hard work. Pastors, members of the church, you got to work in that spiritual field just as diligently as the farmer does in his field. The farmer needs patience. Look at James 5, verse 7. Therefore, he says, be patient, brethren, he says, till the coming of the Lord. And see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently till it receives the early and the latter rain. There's something else that's true in this image of the farmer. The spiritual leaders who share God's word, they're the first ones to enjoy the blessings. The preacher and the teacher, they always get more out of the sermon or the lesson plan or the teaching than the people hearing it. I get more out of this than you do. It's because they put so much into it. They also get great joy when they see the planted seeds bear fruit in the lives of others. It's hard work. It can have disappointments, but the rewards are worth it. And then Paul says to Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. And so therefore he says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, remember Jesus Christ. That sounds like a war cry, doesn't it? Like, remember the Alamo? That's what they cried out when they fought. And Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And our sole purpose is to bring honor and glory to Him. It is such an encouragement to be a suffering Christian for Jesus. Because He died and He rose again. And by doing that, He suffered a lot. But He proved that even through suffering, it leads to glory. And seeming defeat, which the devil thought he won when Christ died on the cross, but seeming defeat leads to victory. You know, we live in an instant world. Instant coffee, I hate it. Instant fast food. Instant relief from pain. Just give me more drugs to take. Where is the patience in the world today? Scripture says we will have sufferings. We will have trials. We will have tribulations. But Scripture also says count it all joy when you endure these things. Because the testing of your faith produces patience. James chapter 1, verse 3. Paul continues with Timothy here in 11 through 13. He says, this, Timothy, is a faithful saying. If we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. Now that is probably, in the early days of the church, a statement of faith that was recited by believers. But it all boils down to this. It is faith in Jesus Christ that gives us the victory, because we can't do it. We don't have to fear our enemies because Jesus has already conquered them. And through our identification with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection, we've won. We have victory. Death leads to life. Suffering leads to reigning in glory. So we have nothing to fear. Nothing. You know how many times it says, don't fear, or like fear not in the Bible? 365 times it says, fear not. And that's not counting other forms. Be not afraid or something like that. So we got one for every day of the year. Okay, what's important? Because I'm not going to go any further in Scripture today. What's important is that we do not disown the Lord. Because if we disown Him here on earth, He's going to disown us with the Father. And Paul makes it very clear that even our own doubt and our unbelief will not change Christ. He remains faithful to us. He cannot deny Himself. We do not put, this will sound strange, we do not put faith in our faith or in our feelings. Because they'll change. And they'll fail us. We put faith in Jesus Christ. He is our rock. He is our captain. There was a missionary, J. Hudson Taylor. And quite often he was quoted as saying, it is not by trying to be faithful, but in looking to the faithful one that we are victorious. So as our trials increase, we need to grow stronger. We need to grow stronger in that which is good. Our faith has to be stronger. Our resolution has to be stronger. Our love to God and our love to Christ, stronger. And there is grace enough in Him for all of us. It will not diminish. And we must be strong in that grace, not in ourselves. And not in our own strength. Ephesians 6:10, last scripture. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. And whatever we do in Your name, Lord, we give You the glory. And so whether we're a young Timothy guiding his baby sister, or whether we're a parent instructing our children, or whether we're a minister speaking to Your people, we need You to guide us and strengthen us in all that we do and say. And we pray all this strength in Jesus' name. Amen.